I don't know.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network.
If you guys don't need me, I can just set the recorder and like go play video games while you guys do this.
Sometime you should mess with the recording speed just at random so people think that it's their MP3 player and they've got a setting wrong.
All right, Andy
People
Kaufman.
Love it when you do that, Clues.
So, yes, this is episode 570 of Monday Night Magic. I'm Chewy.
Hi, Chewy. Hi.
And I'm a dorkaholic. with me are Clues and Squee.
Hi, us.
Big shout out to the folks in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Oh, they know what they did.
All right, then.
That's the 570 area code. Yeah, it's. I mean, there are other cities as well. I just picked one that was covered.
Fair enough.
I mostly just wanted to say Scranton. Is that okay?
In some context.
Yeah, it's a medical term. It's in the Bible. Because there's no swearing
on Monday Night Magic. Monday Night Magic.
So, we actually have a fair amount of nonsense to get through, so I guess we should get started.
None?
Like the bread?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a flat bread.
That stuff is delicious.
Delicious, yeah.
That is true. Okay. We have consensus, so say we all.
I'm actually going to make an executive decision.
Yes?
And cover all of the changes first. Ha-ha!
Oh. Ooh.
Plot changing things up.
Ha-ha, look at that. Changing the order, even.
What? Well, I just realized this stuff is way more interesting than the actual tournaments. So.
Yeah.
That is definitely true.
We have a bunch of OP changes. Not overpowered changes, but organized play changes. First up, we have the first half of next year's GP schedule has been revealed. Now remember, 2018 is where Channel Fireball Events takes over as the sole Grand Prix tournament organizer.
If you need someone to blame, it's them.
Yep. And it looks like they're doing things a little differently. First up, we've got the Team Trios Constructed format that Star City Games has been using. Oh, we've seen it, what, two or three times, including this weekend?
Yeah, a few times.
Yep.
Where it's teams of three. One person plays Standard, one person plays Modern, one person plays Legacy.
The king of all formats!
And I seem to remember saying, hey, if this proves to be popular, I wonder if we'll see any Grand Prix. Well, look at that. So that's one thing.
That's a good thing.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I like it. Next, we have, well, I'm going to call it the Vegas effect. Where, you know, GP Vegas that just happened a little while ago. There were three Grand Prix that weekend.
Yeah, and what happened there stayed there.
Apparently. Except
we're talking about it.
What happened there didn't stay there. Now it's spreading.
What?
Because there are five instances of multiple GPs in the same city in the same weekend. Starting with Seattle, Washington. In April, there will be a Legacy GP and a Standard GP.
I like half of that.
In Birmingham, England, there will be the same thing in May, Legacy and Standard. And then in Las Vegas, wherever that is, in June, there will be a Modern and a Limited GP both in the same weekend. And there are two more to come in the second half of the year. One in, where is it? Here we go. One in North America and one in Japan. So that's pretty neat. I'm going to predict right now that both of those have Legacy in them.
Seems possible.
I'm hopeful.
Because, well, I don't know hopeful or not, but it says down here in the rest of 2018 that there will be four individual Legacy tournaments, and since the first two happen on the simultaneous GP weekends, seems pretty easy to guess that the other two will as well. Other things of note we've got, let's see here. Team Limited in Indianapolis in January, Team Limited in Santiago, Chile in March.
I once had my wallet stolen in the Santiago airport.
That's
I don't know if that counts as an endorsement or not.
No, it was not good.
I mean, on the one hand, your wallet might get stolen. On the other hand, you might find Clues' wallet.
Yeah, if you do, could you get that back to me? I liked that wallet.
Team Limited in Amsterdam in March. Well, the end of March, beginning of April, March 30th and April 1st. Team Limited in Columbus in April and Bologna, Italy in April, same weekend. Team Limited in Washington, D.C. in May. Because people love team events. The team trios constructed.
Last week, you guys were discussing an event in Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And I was not here to make any comment, but your GP announcements in both Indy and Columbus did remind me. If you're in Indy or Columbus for either of those events coming up, make sure that you find time to get Skyline Chili. That is all. Carry on.
Deep thoughts with the clues.
Okay, then. Now I forgot what I was doing.
Excellent.
Right, the Team Trios GPs. Here we go. In Santa Clara. That's in California, right?
Pretty much all the Santa things are.
Hang on. Santa Clara is in California. Yeah, okay. It's right next to San Jose. Got it. Okay. So in January, we get Team Trios there. In March, we get it in Madrid, Spain. And then also later in March, we get it in Kyoto, Japan.
Hmm.
Oh, and there's one in Toronto in May. And there's some other team thing. Where is it? Oh, the Team Unified Modern in Sydney, Australia in April. So lots of team events going on in GPs in the first half of this year. Now, we mentioned Toronto, and this is a thing that Kim, one of our, I'm going to say beloved, because I love Kim,
yeah,
one of our beloved Canadian listeners, pointed out. Toronto, not only does it get the, what was it, Team Trios in May, but there's also a modern tournament in Toronto in February. And I asked Twitter about this. I didn't get many responses, but all of the responses I got were, I don't remember a city getting multiple GPs in the same year. That's weird. And since I don't pay attention to that sort of thing, like, over the course of a year, I don't know if that's weird or not, but apparently that was noteworthy. So, hey, how about that?
And look, I'm going to say Toronto. Nifty.
Nifty, yeah. Speaking of Toronto, I just watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World again yesterday. So that takes place in Toronto. So there you go. See how everything ties together? Have you seen Scott Pilgrim Have you seen Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
Is that a question to the audience?
I have not, yeah.
Well, that was for you guys, actually, because the audience can't answer me back immediately.
I mean, if they try hard enough. Yeah, I actually saw Scott Pilgrim in one of the pre-release showings, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I went with Brian, my Manipool co-host, to see it. If I remember correctly, that was the one we went to see to celebrate passing the bar?
You passed the bar?
No, he did.
On the way there, yeah.
That makes a lot more sense.
I did. I drove right past it. He's not wrong. Anyway.
We pundit clues. He's allowed to laugh because I called it out as a pun. I get it.
That's great.
So let's see. The proposed format spread for the entirety of 2018.
I will not marry it.
Let's see. 15 standard GPs, 13 limited GPs, 12 modern GPs, 4 legacy GPs, 9 team limited, 4 team trios constructed, and 3 team unified modern. That's the goal right now. Of course,
right.
Some of those are subject to change, of course.
4 is greater than 0, so I'm happy about that.
That is very true. Yeah, if the multiple GPs in a weekend means we get to see more than 0 legacy, then I'm all for it.
Yep.
Actually, I don't really care, but for clues,
Clues
sake,
happy.
Yeah, I was going to say, but Clues does.
Yeah.
And that's something.
Yay, Clues. So that's what we know about the Grand Prix schedule up until the end of June.
Yep.
Seems good. So moving on, we have some information about 2018 Pro Tours and 2017 Worlds. Okay. Okay, so Pro Tours next year. We've got Pro Tour Rivals of Ixalan, which is the second set in the Ixalan block, and actually the final second set for the foreseeable future.
Right.
Yep.
And that takes place in Spain. Is that Bilbao? Bilbao? In Bilbo Baggins, Spain.
Bag End.
It takes place in Bag End.
Pro Tour Bag End.
Watch out for the Sackville Bagginses. They will steal your modern deck.
They will.
And they are jerks.
Be sure to duck.
Yes. That is in February, and it is Modern and Booster Draft. Modern and Booster Draft. Modern. Pro Tour.
Yeah.
Which is a thing they don't do anymore.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they're doing it. Was there a reason for that? Did they mention that?
I don't believe so.
They just wrote it out there and were like, hey, check that out. Yeah, they did not appear to draw any sort of special attention to it. Oh, here we go.
It'll also mark the return of Modern Constructed. Yeah.
Okay, then. Pro Tour Dominaria in June will take place in Richmond, Virginia, which seems an odd place to have a Pro Tour, but, you know, whatever.
And we might actually have to go to that one, should we?
Yeah, it's like, hang on. Let consult Google.
It is not that far away.
Richmond.
Yeah, it's not that far away.
It's, well, according to this, it's 3.5 hours from me.
It's even shorter for me.
Not that far.
Which I didn't even think it was that far away. So yeah, we might end up having to do that, unfortunately.
It will be the people who show up not to play. It'll be great.
Yeah.
This will be when they reenact that thing of you need to actually qualify to get in. It'll be great. But for now, I guess the plan is for June next year to go to a Pro Tour.
Possibly. That's going to be standard again. Now, remember, after Dominaria, we get the return of the Corset sort of, kind of.
Yay!
And instead of having Pro Tour Corset, they're having Pro Tour 25th Anniversary in Minneapolis, Minnesota in August. So the ice and snow covering will be less
minimal.
Hazardous. Yeah.
You heard it here. Snow-covered lands.
And that will be Team Constructed. Ooh.
Hey, we should make it.
Which they did tell us before.
Do you remember when I was rattling off, wow, look at all of these team GPs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the reason, it turns out.
Gotta feed into something.
Yeah. If you top four a team GP until May, from January to May, then you'll get an invite to that. So that's pretty neat.
Pretty sweet.
Let's see here. And then Pro Tour Spaghetti, which we don't know the name of the set yet, so it's still its playtest name, will be in Atlanta in November. That's standard. And then the World Magic Cup will be in Barcelona, Spain in December. And its format is apparently to be determined.
For those of you keeping track at home, that means that two countries will host all of these.
Yeah. Spain and America.
Yeah. Sorry, Asia.
We can totally hear your typing clues.
Yeah, I know.
Does not care.
Look.
You are such a Sackville Baggins.
Here's the thing. Have either of you looked at Twitter lately?
Yeah, I know. And
okay.
And yet.
Okay. Great.
Remind all right, me then, to have then, you killed.
I just needed to never mind. It's fine. Everything is fine.
Yeah, you're rewarding bad behavior clues.
Good job. Now I have to go edit all of this out.
What? Oh, nice
try. That was
funny. Nice try.
Anyway.
You almost had me there for a second.
So that's the big news for 2018. As far as the end of this year, the 2017 Magic World Championship will be in Boston in October, which seems early in the year for a World Championship, but you know, whatever. And that will be standard in Booster Draft, both of which will be the first time that Ixalan is available to the pros. So that's pretty neat. Oh, yeah, the Team Series Championship will also take place in Boston on Sunday, October 8th. The top two teams there will be playing Team Sealed with Ixalan. Ooh, neat. And then
Before we wander too far away, one other note for the Pro Tour 25th anniversary is that they're going to be doing a special exhibition tournament. So there will be stuff for us to do there. It's hidden under the What Are the Prizes header.
Yeah. Look for more details in September.
Pro Tour 25th anniversary will coincide with a special exhibition tournament. Okay.
So, I'm pointing that out because I just alluded to there not being anything for us to do if we go there. I'm correcting it before Twitter gets to us.
I have zero plan of playing Magic at.
No, but it means that we can find other people that are Pro Tour players there.
Fair enough.
There will be a reason for other people to go.
And then the 2017 World Magic Cup will be in Nice, France, at the beginning of December.
That's nice.
And will be Ixalan's Team Sealed and then Team Unified Standard for the remainder of the event. So there you go. Lots of pirates and dinosaurs at the end of the year. Seems good?
Seems good.
All right. And then they have made changes to the Pro Tour Players Club, right? Is that the full? Yeah, Pro Tour Players Club. And since this is only relevant to the people that are in it, and those people know this already, we'll just give you a quick rundown just because it's news, even though it only applies to a tiny percentage of the people out there and probably none of you that are actually listening. Yep. Although, if you're in the Pro Club and you actually listen to Monday Night Magic, let us know, because that's weird. So,
although, it's awesome. We don't want to discourage you.
It's totally awesome.
Thank you for listening.
It just means that when we talk about pro stuff in the future, we'll call you out.
Look, I do know that Matej Zadelkaj used to listen to Monday Night Magic when, you know, it was... I know he was listening to it when I was here. I'm pretty sure it was when it was the three of us. So, you know, at least one high-level player used to listen to us. Huh?
That's a ringing endorsement.
It's a lot of qualifiers there, but please go on.
Hey, man. Shout out to Big Z. So, okay. After the 2017-2018 season, instead of it being a 1 year, you know, if you're in at the end of the year, then you're in for the year. It's going to be a rolling model with four cycles. So there will be four seasons, and the top three highest earning pro point finishes among all the events that everyone does will be the ones that count in each cycle. So if you like top 80 GP, scrub out of a GP, top, let's say, do well at a pro tour and then do decently at a GP, then the scrub out won't count. You know.
Yeah.
They're also adding a new level, which will be bronze. So there you go. That gets you an invitation to the regional PTQs and one buy at GPs. Yay. And then they're not changing the pro club thresholds for the 2017-18 season. So there you go. If you want any more information on that, the link to this giant explanation is in the show notes. We're not going to go through it because, again, it doesn't apply to the vast majority of people listening. And those that it does apply to have probably already read this and complained on the internet.
As is our way.
I actually have not heard any sort of feedback about this because I haven't been paying attention to Twitter since this was released. So there you go. There's the organized play changes. Now let's get to the tournaments.
Who played Magic?
I didn't. So let's see. Where are we here? We're in Toronto. Is this Toronto? This is Toronto. How many people were in Toronto?
1,391.
Now, this was limited, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so this is, what's the current set? Hang on. I'm like, wait, you know, this was Ixalan
Limited. He'll get there.
No,
he'll
wait, it there. Wasn't.
60 minutes.
60 minutes?
Of destruction.
Oh, okay. So yeah, this is 60 minutes of destruction limited.
Yep.
I can't remember the name of the Amonkhet. There we go. This is Amonkhet Block. Look, I've said Ixalan so many times that my brain is just like, that's where we are now, right? Where Robert Anderson, not to be confused with Jungle Rat Rob. This is a more
Mr.
different.
Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, this is a more different Robert Anderson. One. In second place, we have Alan Sun, Matthew Nikolai in third, Benjamin Wheats? One of those in fourth place. Andrew Cuneo in fifth, Doug Potter in sixth, Timur Rashid, let's go with that, in seventh, and in eighth place, Yu Cheng An. Yay!
Hooray! Ooh,
but it's limited, so nothing really much to
talk. They all ran limited decks.
Yes.
Do not bring them to FNM, you will be in trouble.
Unless it's a limited FNM, in which case you're still in trouble because... You're not
yeah,
sure.
You can't bring those from home, yeah.
Yeah. Bad at this game.
So although, if someone wants to build one of these decks and take it to a constructed FNM and let us know how they did, let us know how you did.
Says here I wasn't allowed to play with a 40-card deck.
There is that.
We'll just add basic lands till we get there.
All right, so that was Toronto. Now, Grand Prix Kyoto was the other event this weekend. Excuse me, my drink is trying to murder me.
No dying.
Where there were 2,395, wow, 1,004 more people.
Yeah.
Buh. And
popular choice.
Apparently. And oh look, William Jensen won. You know, since he showed up, he won.
It's a good power.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty good. In second place, we have Atsuki Kihara. In third place, Martin Mueller. Hey, that guy. In fourth place, oh look, John Finkel showed up.
I think I know that name too.
So he top eighted, you know, like you do. In fifth place, Ki Win Tao. In sixth place, Pascal Maynard. Hey, look at that. In seventh, how did I get on this tab? What?
Did you press the tab key?
No, that wouldn't move. Where did?
Just control tab till you get back to the right one.
What's the close current tab button? Because somehow I've managed to close the tab. Hang on. Live. This is live radio, you guys.
Function control shift kill.
Alt F4. Here
abort,
we go.
Retry, fail.
All right.
Ask right. Your parents.
So sixth place, Pascal Maynard. Right. Okay. Seventh place, we have Zhao Yu Roy Yang.
Sure.
Sure. And in eighth place, Kazuki Yada. They were also running limited decks, although I would assume different ones.
Presumably. The limited meta is very flexible.
It is. There are a lot of different decks in the limited meta.
I mean, not all of them can win, but you could put together your own deck and possibly win there. You don't have to net deck.
In fact, it's frowned upon. See previous
very
discussion.
Very much so, yes.
So there you go. That's who finished where for that. Is there anything interesting going on? No, it doesn't look
like it. If you're following along at home, there are now tabs in the tournament coverage, which makes looking for interesting things both easier and harder until we get used to it.
Yep.
Yes. Change is change.
Okay, I like this title. Feature match, Mushroom Mountain versus Bamboo Village. I don't want any context. I'm letting that be what it is.
Isn't that like a Super Mario Brothers stage?
It's probably two of them.
In a battle to the death. How do stages fight? Anyway... So let's move on to the Star City...
With Thespians.
With Thespians.
It's how stages fight.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, it's a little cut.
Let's move on to Star City Games with its auto-playing video for those of you who don't want to hear it. Too bad.
You luckily already closed that tab. So, Star City Atlanta was Team Trios, and there were 268 teams, which means 804 people playing. Now, I also like the way these aren't in any sort of order.
No.
They're Modern, Standard, Legacy, and then Standard, Legacy, Modern, and then Legacy, Modern, Standard. Thanks, SCG, for making that. Are they at least in... They're not even in alphabetical order.
No.
What?
I mean, I told you before that when I tried to navigate all of this section to pull together the numbers of people, it's a mess.
Wow. Okay, then. So, for the purposes of not going through each and every deck list... We're not going to go through each and every deck list. So, and I know, oh my god, Standard is still new. We'll squint harder slightly at the Standard decks. So in first place, we have Todd Stevens, Tom Ross, and Jody Keith. Oh god, okay, so Todd Stevens is playing Green-White Company in Modern. Jody Keith is playing Lands in Legacy. And this mono-red aggro deck is Tom Ross's weapon of choice. Clues, have you seen this deck?
I don't think I have, no.
You should look at this deck right now.
We pointed out last week that because something has to happen that you like whenever you're not here, mono-red aggro is a viable standard constructed deck.
Yes, I do remember you discussing this, and it made me squeal with glee.
This one actually has Bomat Courier and Scrap Heap Scrounger, which I I know Beaumont Courier wasn't in last week's decks that we looked at. At least I don't think it was.
I don't recall it being there.
And I'm not sure about the Scrounger, but that makes perfect sense.
Huh? Yes.
So yeah, this is it's sure, Little Red. Yeah. What is this? Sly? Was that the Little Red? Yeah.
Sly was the fast red deck. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, there you go. Good to know. In second place, we've got Dan Jessup in Modern playing Grixis Death Shadow, Kevin King playing Lands for Legacy, and Jim Davis playing a more different mono red aggro deck in Standard. This one is running Village Messenger. Was Village Messenger in the other one? No. I don't even remember Village Messenger. Hang on, let me...
It's a werewolf.
Click to see. Okay, so it's a 1-1 for 1 with haste werewolf that flips into a 2-2 with menace. All right, okay. Yeah, that's pretty good.
You have to work for it, but you get there.
Yeah. Okay, so third place. Victor Logan playing Grixis Delver in Legacy. Evan Smith playing Grixis Death Shadow in Modern. And Lucas Parson playing Teemer Energy in Standard. Yeah, this is very similar to a deck we talked about last week, with multiple flavors of Chandra, and of course a Braid, because if you're running red, you're running a Braid.
For good reason.
Yeah, and then Glorybringer, along with lots of energy-based things. Seems good. In fourth place, we've got Kevin Tulin playing Burn in Modern. Dan Savage, probably not that one, playing Sneak and Show in Legacy. And Andrew Hollingsworth playing a green-red ramp deck in Standard. Walking Ballista, Worldbreaker Ulamog. Damn.
Worldbreaker Ulamog. Sounds like a card.
And Chandra Torch of Defiance. How does this... Where's the ramp? Natural Connection. Okay. Beneath the Sands, Hour of Devastation, and Hour of Promise. Oh, okay. Got it. Interesting choice.
I mean, it's neat, but yeah, the ramp is a little odd.
Yeah, your ramp starts at 3.
It's a little late to start grabbing land in these kind of decks normally, but we also don't have like 12 mana dorks running around, so.
Very true.
When those also start at 2 and 3, it kind of loses its punch.
Of course, you've also got your Shrine of the Forsaken Gods, which is a ramp. And your... your three big things are all colorless, so the Shrine of the Forsaken Gods is pretty sick.
Ramp on your late game drops, and quite sick. I guess for the Walking Ballista is pretty sweet.
Yeah, you go Hour of Promise on 5, you get 2 Shrine of the Forsaken Gods, so next turn you've got potentially 10 mana.
Yeah.
Seems good. Damn.
I mean, it's ramp, but it's like late game ramp.
Yeah, it's very strange. And it's got a Braid and Kozilek's Return, an Hour of Devastation, and Chandra. How does this deck not just die? What?
Creature kill? By way of fire?
I said you've got a Braid, Kozilek's Return, and Hour of Devastation, and Chandra. But Hour of Devastation costs 5, Chandra costs 4. So I guess you're really, really hoping for a Braid and... Kozilek's Return early? I guess Oath of Nyssa. Wait. No, the rest of your cards go on the bottom on that. Never mind. That does help you cycle through, I guess, but no, not really, because you're cycling past those spells. I have no idea how this works. Like how it survives the early game.
Blocks.
I suppose. Okay, wait, let's think natural here. You're on 3. You play a ramp spell. You go get a basic. Assuming that you, well, it's a big assumption, but let's say you draw another basic. Now you're on 5, you can Hour of Promise, and as we just determined, next turn you're on 10. So I guess it only needs to survive for like a turn or two.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, a Walking Ballista is a block and potentially a ping against something aggressive.
Yeah. Okay. Just had to suss it out for a minute there. So moving on. What was that? That was fourth place. We've got 5th place, Tenon Grace playing Grixis Delver in Legacy. Harlan Fierer? 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 Harlan. Playing Jeskai Control in Modern. And Kevin Jones playing Esper Aggro in Standard. What?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the Flash deck. Okay, right.
Ah.
Exactly. but with black thrown in for removal and Scrap Heap Scrounger. Right, right, right. Okay. Just not used to seeing Esper aggro anymore.
Yeah.
Sixth place, Kendall Burdett playing Grixis Death Shadow in Modern. Alex Hahn playing Jeskai Stoneblade in Legacy. And Tyler Wilkerson playing Mono Red Aggro in Standard. Similar deck. Very similar deck. Okay. I'm still digging the Hanwyr Garrison in these decks because it's awesome.
Yeah.
No need for Hanwyr Battlements, although there is one in the board in this deck. So cool. Seventh place, Manny Collazo is running Burn in Modern. Mike Warren running Grixis Delver in Legacy. And Zachary Plott running Mardu Vehicles in Standard. It's pretty much your Mardu Vehicles deck. It's got a Braid in it, and that's about it, as far as anything new. Oh, and some Cycling Lands. That makes sense. Neat. Okay, then moving on. What was that? That was...
Seventh.
That was seventh. Thank you. Finally, rounding out of the top eight, David Long playing Lands in Legacy, Rob Long playing Grixis Death Shadow in Modern, and Zan Syed, or Syed, I really need to learn how to pronounce these names, playing Four Color Emerge in Standard. This is a deck we talked about last week.
Yep.
With all of your... What's the word? It's got the Vessel of Nascency, Grapple with the Past, and Traverse the Ulvenwald. All those things for Delirium. But it's running Prized Amalgam, Haunted Dead, Grim Flayer, Elder Deep Fiend, Champion of Wits, and Scrap Heap Scrounger. Rar, I think it's
the term. Never in the board.
What?
Never to Return still shows up as never on the list.
Oh, there's one never. Yeah.
So sideboard never.
So there you go. That's the top eight. And... Yeah, okay, let's move on to the next thing. The next thing, we've got the Standard Classic, where 151 people were playing. Travis Ryder won with Mono Red Aggro. Jonathan Rosum is in second with the Blue-White Monument deck that I apparently clicked on. This good one job. Is the Blue-White Weenie deck with Oketra's Monument. So you get lots more dudes every time you cast dudes. And your dudes are cheaper. Mm-hmm. And dudes.
Dude.
Dude. Third place, Patrick Paris running Green Red Ramp with lots more creatures to do things with. Matter Reshaper, Thought Not Seer, Ishkana. Yeah. Dustin Thornton in fourth place is running Mono Black Zombies. Gotta love Mono Black Zombies. Complete with the Scarab God.
Yeah, I was gonna comment on that. Spicy.
That's almost too much sriracha spicy right there, which is a description of my dinner.
If you've got zombies, they will die.
That is their lot in on life.
On life, yeah.
Yeah.
If you have zombies, your opponent will also die.
The Scarab God. It's gross. In fifth place, Justin Terpening is running a blue-red control deck. Wow, this is hard control. It's got four Torrential Gearhulk, Nicol Bolas God Pharaoh, and then a lot of, what is it, card draw, murder, and...
Murder, card draw, and no.
No, that's the other one, yeah.
No, yeah.
Let's see here. Sixth place, Glenn DiGirolamo.
I don't think you got that right.
I don't think I got that right at all. Let me try it again. Glenn... Shut up.
Just don't.
Glenn D. Running Mono Black Zombies. This one is not dipping into the Scarab God. And I think I'm okay with that.
I appreciated the Scarab God showing up in the same deck with Dark Salvation. That just feels like a flavor win.
In seventh place, Andrew Lucas. Oh my god, he did it. Andrew Lucas is running White-Blue God Pharaoh's Gift.
Yeah, get there.
Dude, no way. All right, so he's running Cataclysmic Gearhulk, Angel of Invention, which I have not seen since the pre-release.
Yeah, it looks like a Digimon.
Champion of Wits, Mausoleum Wanderer, Minister of Inquiries. What is that?
Tearing a phone book in half.
Yeah, he is, because he's super strong to be a 1-2. So this is one where you get 2 energy when it enters the battlefield. You tap, pay an energy to mill someone for 3. Huh. And then Thraben Inspector, of course. So then you have Gate to the Afterlife.
Get to the chopper.
Which lets you go get the God Pharaoh's gift. So, okay. Hang on. We've got Gate to the Afterlife. Okay. I'm going to run through these real quick because they're not your normal what you'd expect. So, Gate to the Afterlife for 3 mana, artifact. Whenever a non-token creature you control dies, you gain 1 life. Then you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. So, dig through your deck. Got it. You can pay 2, tap and sacrifice Gate to the Afterlife to search your graveyard hand and or library for a card named God Pharaoh's Gift and put it onto the battlefield. And you can only do that if there are 6 or more creature cards in your graveyard. Okay? So, sure. Minister of Inquiries, you're milling yourself. Like, this is very clear. God Pharaoh's Gift costs 7. At the beginning of combat on your turn, you may exile a creature card from your graveyard. If you do, you eternalize it with haste. The haste lasts until end of turn. The zombie doesn't go away. It just stays. Just, hey, look what I've got. I've got this 4/4 now.
You know what's awesome as a 4/4?
Champion of Wits.
I mean, that's true, but look at Angel of Invention. Now imagine it as a 4/4.
Yeah, the Angel of Invention is kind of stupid. No wonder it's in here. Dang.
It comes back as a 6/6.
Ow. Because it has Fabricate too, in case you're wondering, dear listeners. Now you've got Refurbish. For 3 and a white, return target artifact card from your graveyard to the battlefield. Hey, look, God Pharaoh's Gift. Oh.
Yeah.
And then you've got Strategic Planning, which you look at the top 3 cards of your library, put 1 in your hand, and the rest in your graveyard.
This deck has a plan.
And that plan is get out God Pharaoh's Gift quickly, and then any of profit. These things that you, yeah, profit. Any of these things that you get back from your graveyard are just good.
I like how it's also running the Ipnu Rivulet, which is the Sakut Desert mill 4.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Also, the auto card is showing...
Yeah, it's showing the Portal 3. Well, it's showing the Commander version, which is the Portal 3 Kingdoms version of Strategic Planning.
Yeah, instead of the one with Jace and Gideon, you know, having a staring contest. Yeah, okay, that was my confusion. I'm like, I know this card. Why is this not... Yeah. So there you go. This deck is funny. And then it's got Crook of Condemnation in the board. Void Winnower.
That's really funny.
What is this? Hey, what's Forsake the Worldly? The auto card has completely crapped itself.
Forsake the Worldly is a common from Amonkhet. 2 and a white instant. Exile target artifact or enchantment. Cycling 2.
Oh, yeah. The guy, it's got the person getting Thor's hammer. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Mjolnir is about to smash their face, lest they be worthy.
The auto card crapped itself on this last week. I wonder if that's a coincidence or not.
Empty thy cache.
What you doing, Clues? Sounds like you're doing math.
No, I was just thinking of something, but it was wrong. Never mind. It's fine.
Okay. It was wrong.
It was wrong. It's fine. Go ahead.
Carry on.
Then. So good on you, Andrew Lucas. 8th place, Scott McNamara is running Blue-Red Control. More stuff in the top 16. Green-Black Energy, Mono-Red Aggro, Mardu Vehicles, Green-Red Pummeler, 2 of those. 5-color Planeswalkers, and 2 Blue-Red Control decks. Is this 5-color Planeswalkers deck similar? Yep. It's an energy deck that runs Oath of Nissa and a whole mess of Planeswalkers, including Chandra Flamecolor, Chandra Torch of Defiance, Nahiri, and Nicol Bolas.
All the red Planeswalkers.
Yep. He's like, I'm a god pharaoh. Meh. And you're like, yes, yes you are.
That has been proven.
Meh.
You think Nicol Bolas wrote his name on the side of the plane before he broke it?
Take him up plane going home. Okay, so that's the Standard Open.
Standard Classic.
Standard Classic. The Modern Classic had 182 people playing. Alex Vess won with Decepticons. Yep, there is no affinity here. Anything neat? No, nothing at all. Okay, cool. Didn't want there to be anything. Oh, okay. Daniel Kagans is running Tribal Zoo. Does it have tribal? Yeah, there's tribal flames. Oh, and it's got claim to fame in it too.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really good in this deck. Claim for a single black gets a creature card with converted mana cost two or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. And then fame for one and a red, the aftermath side, target creature gets +2/+0 and haste until end of turn. So for three mana, you can get back your Death Shadow, your Goyf.
Your Goyf.
Your Wild Nacatl. And then it can swing immediately. It's also running Might of Alara. Yeah, okay. This is just a new take on good old classic Tribal Zoo, and I likes it.
Yeah.
Troy Smith in third place is running Grixis Delver. Sol Malka is running a black-green mid-range deck in fourth. This is Redless Jund. Yeah, yeah, if you look at it, it's Jund without the red. Okay.
Well, okay, then.
Yeah, neat. Moving on. J.D. Umberson is running Jeskai Control in fifth place. Yep. John Elgin is running a red-green Ponza deck in sixth. What? Oh, yeah, this deck. With Acidic Slime and Monvuli Acid Moss.
Ew.
And Primal Command and Stone Rain and Blood Moon. Oh,
some
God.
Nice full art lands you got there. Be a shame if I turned them all into mountains and then blew them up on principle.
But yeah, the deck is running all of that, and then things like Wormcoil Engine and Inferno Titan and Storm Breath Dragon. Yeah, you remember that card? And the Swag Tusk and Thrun the Last Troll. Because if you're playing this much land destruction, you should probably have a troll in your deck.
Art imitates life.
Exactly. He's also got Arbor Elves, Birds of Paradise, you know, to make it go faster. Wow, this looks painful. Oh, and there's a Kessick Wolf Run. I know I was missing something. Ugh.
There better be.
Let's just close that. Lucas Michaels is in seventh, also running Decepticons. And then Kevin Burgess in eighth, running a blue-white control deck. Running the rest of the top 16, we've got Burn, Counters Company, Lantern Control, Amulet Titan, Elves, Human Company. That is what I crave. and Mardu Reanimator. What is Human Company?
I wouldn't know.
They are... You live with your wife now. No one wants to hear your nonsense.
Yeah, okay. But look, someone had to make the joke. I did.
Mayor of Avabruk, and then they're all humans that Collected Company can go grab. Huh.
If it's...
That's hilarious. Including three each of both flavors of Thalia. Because screw whatever your opponent wants to do.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. It's just 31 creatures, 4 Collected Company, 4 Path to Exile, and lands that make it work. Hey, sure, Cavern of Souls. I know what type you name with it.
Rogue.
You're a horrible person.
I can't Goblin. Name Rogue. It'd make me sad.
All right. So that was entertaining. Let's go on to Legacy.
The king of all formats.
Where 141 people were playing in the Legacy Classic.
Hooray. That's what we like to see. So shall I take this away?
Yeah, because I need a drink.
All right. Well, you have a drink. We'll talk about some of these decks here. Now, I was told to keep it short, so we may not talk too much about the decks themselves, but let's see what folks were playing. So in first place, we have Zachary Koch? Zachary. Oh,
yeah.
Zachary really needs to get that looked at because I think it might be infected. But there you go. In second place,
he hates you.
In second place, Justin Parnell is also not looking so good with his Sultai Death Shadow deck.
Wait, Parnell, this isn't Commander. Well, look at him playing well.
In third place, Andrew Hampton is on much more solid ground with his lands deck, which is nice, I guess, if you're into that sort of thing.
You're proud of that one too, aren't you?
I am. Yes, I am.
It was pretty
Evan
good.
Nyquist frequently might be in too deep with his blue-green depths deck.
Even though it's black-green.
I'm sorry, black-green. my apologies. Fifth place, Tyler Hatchell is playing Storm. I believe this is Ant. Anyone want to take a peek? Back me up on this?
I don't know. I see a Burning Wish.
Do you? Well, then congratulations. It's Tess.
Maybe?
It's Tessant.
It's a Tesseract.
It's a Tesseract.
I did see the Wrinkle in Time trailer.
Oh, I did not.
Oh, okay. We might have to do that later.
I'm going to write that down. Wrinkle in Time trailer. Okay.
Are you actually writing it down?
Yeah, I have a notepad right here.
We're being recorded, right?
I know, but I always have a notepad here to write things down. So after the show, I can look that up.
You know, people with Windows already have notepad all the time, Clues.
In sixth and a half place, I hate Squeak. In sixth place,
all right,
Caleb Scherer is also running Storm. I also think it's Ant.
Yeah, I don't see any. I don't see any wishes. So
great, it's Ant this time. In seventh place, Peter Tubergen.
Sure, yeah.
Tubergen, yeah, is a budding entomologist playing some Grixis Delver here. And in eighth place, Kyle Forbes might be up to something with his Sneak and Show deck. So keep an eye on him, is what I'm saying. Rounding out our top 16, other decks that you might find interesting, there's some Grixis Pyromancer in ninth, so I can only assume Young PZ makes an appearance. Wait, in 10th and 11th.
What's yep. Grixis Pyro? Is this like Delver without the Delver?
If you were thinking of playing a Delver deck, just take the Delvers out, because stop that. I mean, it's not good advice, but it is advice.
That should just be the tagline for this show.
Oh, I'll just go add that to the show.
Not the title, the tagline.
Oh, not good advice.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry, where were we? We were looking at other decks outside. We have a pair of Jund Depths decks in 10th and 11th, some more Grixis Delver in 12th, Colorless Eldrazi in 13th, Grixis Delver in 14th, some Red Black Reanimator in 15th, and some more Sneaky Show out in 16th.
The Eldrazi Scourge!
The Eldrazi Scourge, which is taking over all of Legacy. We have 13th. One deck in 13th place, so it's clearly a problem. I look forward to the numerous bans that will occur the next time that happens, which I think is every third Tuesday after a full moon. I don't remember how we're doing banning these days. Oh, boy. So there you go. That is your top 16.
Yay.
In the world of Legacy.
There you go. Now, a reminder, Pro Tour Hour of Devastation is this weekend.
It is indeed.
And then that means that there will be another Ban Restricted List update.
In round four.
sometime, I don't remember if it's immediately after or like a week after or multiple weeks after. I don't remember what they said, so sorry about that, but... There will be a Ban Restricted List update sometime after the Pro Tour. If anything jumps out from the Pro Tour as terrible, then I'm sure they'll ban it. Although I'm kind of hoping that they just ease up this time, you know?
I'd really like if we had some stability for a bit. I don't think the game is on fire anymore because Burn is doing well, and that's great. So we should be good.
All right, then. Apparently, the Hasbro quarterly earning report happened, and there are, well, of course, everything is doing well, everything's peachy, whatever, whatever. The most notable bit of information that we're going to cover, we're going to put the link to this, or links to these things in the show notes in case you want to go pore over it yourself, but an important takeaway is that... Importantly, the digital future of Magic the Gathering is progressing, and we look forward to sharing more with you in August at our Investor Day. The Investor Day is apparently, what was it, August 3rd?
August 3rd, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. We will hear more about Magic Digital next. Then. That was also somewhere else. Oh, apparently the Hasbro CEO was on Mad Money, and he specifically mentioned that the future of Magic in the digital world will be covered at the investor meeting or investor What'd I just say, Investor Day? Mad money. What your average tournament Magic player spends on Magic. No, they can't all be winners.
Nope, you should have written them down.
By statistics, it's impossible.
You should have written them down on a notepad ahead of time, like I did.
We type in our notepads, please.
Yeah.
I have a pen.
Typing in that notepad got me a Legacy Top 8. What have you done tonight?
Have a pen.
Look,
have you seen the film Gross Point Blank?
Long time ago.
Well, actually, not really a long time ago, just a couple years, but it might as well be a long time ago.
All right. Somebody out there understands why I tie that to...
Wait, was Gross Point Blank one of the many, many times when John Cusack, of all people, played a hired killer?
Yes. Yes,
why
it was.
Is John Cusack always an assassin? He's like
well,
the
because
least...
no one would suspect.
Ah, okay.
And after enough movies, we start to suspect until he stops doing it.
He's always like an assassin or like a hard-bitten cop. And I'm like, what?
Him? I mean, her?
So, no, John.
Kind of like if Al or Carl Winslow shows up, you know, he's probably not on the take.
Although Joan Cusack was also in that film.
She was, yeah. Did she play his sister?
No. She was like his...
I'm thinking of a different one.
Yeah, I don't want to say secretary, but she like scheduled things for him.
Yeah.
So maybe secretary. Look, I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen it too, but.
Lord. Okay, then. So next
up. The pen part is important.
Look, if the pen is mightier than the sword, then just think how powerful the keyboard is.
Only in a just society.
And clues?
We are not in a just society.
Clues?
Yes, sir.
And there's more where that came from. So, for those of you that are interested in Unstable, the third Unset.
Go on.
And there are plenty of you. For
that's
the record,
that's me.
I am not one of those people, but...
And you're wrong.
We have some pictures from the Unstable panel, which when taken out of context sounds like a place you don't want to be close to. Where we have a, well, there's what looks like an anthropomorphic badger in a trench coat trying to sell you squirrels.
Correct.
That's what they do when they have coats.
Like, hey, you want to buy a squirrel? And then we have some things.
Yeah,
so
these
apparently
are some,
there are
factions.
Yeah, there are five factions in Unstable. The Order of the Widget in blue-white. The Agents of Sneak, or S-N-E-A-K. It's an acronym. In blue-black. The League of Dastardly Doom in black-red. The Goblin Explosioneers in red-green. You know, like...
They're fighting us.
Like you do.
And Crossbreed Labs in green-white, which... Okay, that makes a lot more sense. When I first read that, my brain read Crossbreed Lambs, and I was like, okay.
That's what they do.
Exactly. So
this
some
is
of
what
the,
happens when like people don't clean up after themselves in the Simic Labs.
Ew. So some of the features of Unstable. Whoa, do not click on that. It zooms in too far. You have squirrels, of course.
Obviously.
Full art basic lands, apparently.
Score.
More fuller-er.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Contraptions. Yep.
Yes!
Wait a minute. Let's go over... So Rosewater wrote a whole blog post about this on his Tumblr page, the Blogatog. Okay. Full art basic lands with art done by John Avon, and they did something with them that they almost did in Unhinged, but chickened out. Clues, what was your theory on that?
Well, it's not my theory. It's the rumor that I've heard, although it's counterindicated by the next paragraph. But the rumor that I've heard is that back when they did Unhinged, they almost made borderless full art lands, but then they chickened out. So it's possible that these are borderless full art lands.
Hmm.
As an alternative, the unique thing is that the mountains – are actually burnt cards. The islands have been dipped in water. Swamps have been dropped in the mud. The plains are just dusty. And weirdest of all, the forests are made of paper.
That's bizarre.
I was thinking they were going to go ahead and just do what they telegraphed back in Arabian Nights, and all of the basics are going to be mountains.
Would you like to continue down your list of neat things in this, Chewie?
Sure, why not? So the set will have contraptions, and yes, you said that Steam Flogger Boss is actually in the set.
A real card.
Yeah.
A real, actual black-bordered card.
Yeah, and it's apparently going to be black-bordered, rather than just be reprinted in silver.
Oh, I guess we should mention, there's got to be some folks out there who are listening who are going, I don't know what an unset is or what in the hell these guys are talking about. First of all, welcome to the show. Monday Night Magic is a show about Magic the Gathering, not about illusions. Secondly, say hello to Steve. He's next to you on the bus there. Thirdly, the unsets are, how shall we phrase this? Stupid. They're more human. No. Chewie is wrong. Don't listen to anything Chewie says. They are, let's say, a tongue-in-cheek look at the more humorous aspects of this card game that we love. And they are printed as silver-bordered sets, so therefore are not legal for play in most constructed events, unless they're specifically un-events. Silver-bordered cards, not legal in tournament play, but as has been the case in the past, they've made their lands, which are always beautiful, their lands are always printed as black-bordered so that you could actually run them in other decks.
And in fact, the lands are usually the only things that have any monetary value from unsets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They also tend to feature lots of rules that would never work anywhere but in this context.
Correct.
And are in fact inherently absurd.
Denim walk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With a rod of clarifying whether or not you can remove your pants and at what phase.
That's right.
Oh. When we talked about this on the Mana Pool.
Yes.
Hang on, we got an email. We mentioned that there were some mechanics that started in unsets that ended up becoming real, let's say.
There are, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And
like the big furry monster.
Yep, that became meld.
That became meld, yeah.
There's the cheese stands alone, which became, I think it's called Baron Glory. We had to go look that up.
Baron Glory became a real card.
Yeah, which started as the cheese stands alone. The cycle of pacts, you know, the play this for free now, but pay for it later.
Or else you'll pay for it later.
Yeah, that's apparently the same as rocket powered turbo slug.
Yes, they alluded to that when they first previewed them.
Which had super haste, which you could play him for free and attack with him, but if you didn't, but you had to pay for it later or else. And, the forecast mechanic. Now, Jeff Spencer sent us an email about the pacts and the forecast mechanic. He said the forecast mechanic from Ravnica is the mechanic from the Infernal Spawn of Evil.
Had not thought of that.
Yeah. So, yeah, he, we knew there were more that we had forgotten on that episode of the Mana Pool, but luckily Jeff Spencer was paying attention. So thanks, buddy.
Excellent. So yeah, it's an area where they can print ridiculous stuff that will have rules. And also, don't be surprised if whatever goes on in the art is absurd.
Indeed.
This is also a place where they get to have a lot of fun, and they roll with it. And so this will be the third one. They're called unsets because unhinged, unglued, and now unstable.
Unstable.
Yeah. My personal favorite, and I read this off on that announcement episode of the Mana Pool, but my personal favorite card name from an unset comes from unhinged, and it's... Our market research shows that players like really long card names, so we made this card to have the absolute longest card name ever, Elemental. Yep.
It's that kind of sense of humor.
It also has Art Rampage 2. Whenever this becomes blocked by a creature, it gets +2/+2 for each creature in the blocker's art beyond the first.
Which is important when they have insects.
Yeah. So that's the sort of thing. There are such things as, like, the City of Ass.
There's a whole cycle of ass.
Yeah.
There is.
Like badass, who travels the land searching for good ass.
Wasn't one of the unsets the first time they printed tokens?
Maybe the first time they printed tokens, like actually printed them, I think maybe was
yeah,
the first, was unglued?
I think that is the case.
I know that untokens were sought for a while.
Oh, and speaking of tokens, in this unset, it's going to have foil tokens. And what's interesting there is Morrow points out that it will both have tokens produced by cards in the set and for popular tribes we felt the players would like in foils. So there may be foil tokens in the set that aren't produced by anything in this set. They're just tokens that people might want.
This is pretty much their opportunity to print whatever and throw it in packs and then hope that you guys find it funny enough to buy.
And I do. I totally do. I would like to buy all of it, please. Thank you.
Here we go with the...
I'm going to put it with the fat packs. Yeah. That's correct. Yes. I knew where you were going with that. Make a little fort. It's going to be nothing but fat packs and unsets.
Nice. So, let's see here. The set uses modern design and development techniques. It was designed to be drafted by itself, and the release of Ends will be booster drafts. We worked hard to make the set have a lot of playability so you can draft it a bunch of times. They did say that it, here it is, it's got a cohesive creative theme. They did actual world building for this unset instead of just, hey, let's put all the jokes we can think of on some cards and go. Like, look at me, I'm the DCI, which has some of my favorite art from an unset.
Yeah. So do you guys think that the dude and Agents of Sneak is Inspector Gadget?
I don't know. I closed the tab already. Hang on.
I'm going to say yes.
Maybe a little bit.
Obviously not perfectly, but I'm kind of getting that vibe.
Very strange. So there you go. That's on links to all of this stuff will be in the show notes, of course.
Of course.
And beep, beep.
And womp, womp.
Somebody just got a message.
I did.
So is that everything? Nope. Clues put a link to Mojo.
Oh, yeah. Hey, so this is one for all of our judges out there. So if you are a judge or you know a judge, say hello to the judge you know, I guess. The Magic Online Judge Open, or Mojo, is coming. This is an annual event where the nice folks at WotC show their appreciation to the folks in black who spend their time judging events. And they give them an opportunity to play MTGO for free. So if you're a judge, you probably already know about this. If you don't, there's a link to it. Information will be sent out soon. I think the most important thing to make sure you do is make sure that your username is linked in your profile in Judge Center, and that will make sure that you get your invite properly. So there you go. That's all I wanted to say about that. Just wanted to say thank you to all the judges worldwide and to remind them that the Mojo is coming.
Yay. So Magic Online nonsense
still there. That is the news.
Really?
Yeah, there's actually no real Magic Online news. The weekly updates come out on Tuesdays. Last week's weekly updates pretty much entirely said that Magic Online is still going on. Here's a whole bunch of events that have already happened by this recording on Monday, so I don't need to tell them to you. And yeah, Magic Online still exists.
All right. Yay.
There will probably be more news on the 25th when a lot of you are listening to this. Go look at it then, and I'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. And then there will be more news. Oh, let's see here. In two episodes of Monday Night Magic, because that will be after the Investor's Day. Yeah.
And then we'll end up having our, like, HasCon and all the other stuff, and probably some other set will come out. News will return.
It's true. Okay, then. So wait, does that mean we're done?
I believe so.
Feels that way.
Well, that was quick. So, how about some wrap-ups then?
Okay. So, you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no I in Goblin because I'm pretty sure it got lost somewhere in the earnings report. Or maybe it'll show up in the unset. We'll find out. Could be even. There will be a random I somewhere, I promise. It may or may not be mine. But yeah, specifically regarding Twitter, I'm probably not going to be very active on Twitter this week since I'm going to be off for work stuff Tuesday and Wednesday in another state. And then I'm going to be at the beach through the Pro Tour. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but I won't likely be online. So feel free to tweet at me and tell me random things as if I weren't on this episode, and I'll react maybe. Past that, I'll note that Comic-Con just happened and a whole bunch of trailers came out, and I've watched very few of them because I'm pretty happy knowing that there's a lot of movies I want to watch, and I don't really need to have all the best scenes spoiled for me. So, but if you're looking forward to movies, there are trailers out there for you.
You remember when Comic-Con was about comics?
No.
I do, but I'm old.
That is probably true. But yeah, it is pretty much just, you remember when movies were about comics and they were bad? Like, we have good comic movies now, so I'll take it as a win.
We also have DC. Ba-dum-tsh.
Hey, they made one.
Ooh. Keeping the tradition alive.
They made a good one. Singular. But it happened.
I guess,
and now they're reshooting another one with Mustache Superman.
I guess if you count like original Batman and Dark Knight Returns and Batman Begins, they've made like four.
They have made good movies before. They've just also made Steel.
Wait, was
Man of Steel.
Was Darkman DC?
No. Although I do love Darkman, that was not DC, no.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a comic first.
No, I think it was.
I don't know the order of that. Internet, because I want to know.
Somebody go check that.
I don't want to make people wait. Nope. 1990, American superhero film. Yep, Sam Raimi.
Sam Raimi.
Short story that Raimi wrote, yeah.
Pursued and failed to secure the rights to both The Shadow and Batman and decided to create his own.
Shadow Batman. That's cool, though.
There were comics based on it later.
Okay, yeah. So I had the order wrong. I'm sorry. I apologize.
But yeah, lots of media floating out there. Other than that, as a small allusion, I haven't done this, but my understanding is that for the people out there that are still touching Pokemon Go, apparently they finally delivered on the stuff from the original trailer by having giant raid events in person where you have up to 20 people attacking a thing at once to bring it down. And that sounds really cool. So if you're playing Pokemon Go, you probably know about that. If you're not, or you played it for a little while and you stopped, maybe consider checking that out, because if we're going to have augmented reality games, I really like the idea of having augmented reality raids where you have like 20 people show up at Dairy Queen or whatever to fight a monster no one can see. That sounds fun. So there you have it.
Oh,
and yeah.
Oh, wait, were you done?
Yeah, I was going to hand over to Clues. Okay. But you can go instead. Take that, Clues.
Before Clues goes, I've completely missed this in the show notes. The Gigabytes Quarterly at the Gigabytes Tabletop Gaming Cafe in Marietta, Georgia, is this weekend, July 20th through 30th. Remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is where Will Blanks are. What level judge is Will? Does anyone know? He's at least a level one judge.
I don't know.
I don't actually know. And
I feel like we're bad friends.
Well, I mean, I've only actually met him once, so it's probably fine.
Admittedly, when we met him, he didn't tell us. Unless I have a bad memory, in which case we're bad friends.
But this is a Legacy main event. And Saturday, which would be the 29th at 11 a.m. with awesome prizes. A modern event, Sunday at 11 a.m. with awesome prizes. Vintage side events, Friday at 8 p.m. An old school side event, Sunday at 6 p.m. Oh, here we go. The old school side event will allow cards from Alpha Beta Unlimited Revised Chronicles 4th, 5th, Collectors, International, Arabian Nights, Legends, Antiquities of the Dark, and Fallen Empires. Ugh. Cards must use the original art, though. What?
That's
yeah, you can't,
weird.
Can't have cards that were reprinted outside of that.
All right, then. So it's for snobs, I guess.
I thought we talked about this like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we determined that there were so many different versions of it that it was impossible to tell.
Yeah, but that the most common variant only included those early sets, and you had to use cards from those sets. Even if it was reprinted later, you couldn't use the reprint.
That sounds awful and needlessly restrictive. Just
pretty sure you said those very same things.
Pretty sure I did. But anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chewy is consistent.
I am! So, all of these things are happening July 29th and 30th at the Gigabytes Tabletop Gaming Cafe in Marietta, Georgia, where Will Blanks will be there and be judging, I assume. So yeah, he is, by the way, our behind the scenes guy who makes sure that there's always a whole lot of crap in the show notes for us to talk about because he's awesome like that. He was also at the SCG Atlanta. So if you saw him walking around there, you should have said hi. Dang it, man.
Go back and fix it.
Hurry up. Get in your TARDIS with your female doctor and go to town.
Causality.
Yes. Hey, there's a female doctor now.
Yeah, yes. You should really tell Chewie that on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
He needs to know.
I do. I like a lot. So anyway, is it good that there's a female doctor?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Is all the nerd rage because nerds like to rage?
Yes.
I really don't think there's actually as much nerd rage as people would lead you to believe.
I think there's a small number of nerds raging, and therefore a billion nerds have to make everyone know that they're not okay with the nerd rage, and that's what you're seeing.
Okay. Like, most of the rage I saw was, like, old stuffy British men who were like, oh, I can't believe there's a female doctor. Including, like, at least one of the old doctors. I was like, all right then.
When you get to 14, you're going to probably run into that.
Yeah, wasn't the 13th for the longest time thought to be the last one? They had to do story nonsense to make that not the case?
It's Doctor Who. There's plenty of story nonsense to go around.
It's true. Anyway, so I interrupted Clues' sign out thing. My bad.
Hey, it's okay. I'll make it nice and short. If you want to hear more from me, you can do that over on the Random Discard Podcast. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for giving me the plug last week. We did empty out the backlog and have some episodes posted. We're recording again later this week. So look for a new episode end of the week with a tiny bit of luck. Other than that, if you want to, reach me directly, your best bet is on the Twitters. I am at Locke Luzé, spelled just like it is in the show notes. I will also be missing out over, the weekend on most of the Pro Tour stuff. So no witty insight for me. That was a great play that one player made in that one match. It was amazing.
Oh man, you should have seen it.
Yeah.
My favorite part was when he actually ate the card and then somehow still had enough cards.
I mean, it was a line of play that I just did not expect. I didn't see it at all. And that's really what makes these pros so good. It just differentiates them.
Even the commentators didn't see it.
They didn't.
Also, I find it weird that other esports things don't have commentators. They have casters. And yet Magic doesn't have casters. We're Magic casters. Like we're the podcasters, but they're called commentators. I don't know why that struck me as odd. It just did.
I think it's a holdover from when they tried to do it in the 90s when you had sports commentators.
Okay. They have to tweak their terminology if they really want to get those esports dollars. Even though it's because it's not an esport. They're playing with paper magic. That's the problem. Okay.
There's the problem.
Yeah.
Take it away, Chewy.
Yes, sir. So you can follow me, actually anywhere on the internet that you'll find me, it's The Mana Pool. Twitter, at The Mana Pool, where I post, that's where I do most of my interacting and whatnot. Facebook, whoa, my drink is trying to kill me again. Facebook.com/TheManaPool, where you'll get notifications whenever basically anything happens. New episodes, new podcasts, that's the same thing. New videos, when I go live on Twitch, all that happens on the Facebook page. YouTube.com/TheManaPool, where there's all kinds of stuff going on, including, hey, remember, I don't remember if I complained about it on this show or not, I had a copyright claim against my first video for The Walking Dead, the Telltale series. Well, sometime in the last few days, that copyright claim just evaporated.
Hooray!
I got no notification that was like, hey, your dispute was successful. I got nothing. I just happened to scroll down to it, and there was no longer a copyright icon. I was like, what? So it's up now. It's episode 1, A New Day. It's the Walking Dead Telltale series. The first one is public now. If you're hearing this, the second one is probably public. And the third one will go public the next day, most likely. And it's all, it's one big stream that I cut into three pieces to do the Walking Dead episode 1, which means, hopefully, I can stream episode 2 sometime soon and keep the story going, which makes me very happy because it shouldn't, because this game is dark and depressing and really, really, it really hits you in the feels and not necessarily in the good way. But it's entertaining and I really like it. other stuff that is going on YouTube. I finally finished Shovel Knight. Yay! Yay! That game is amazing! And of course, now I have two more campaigns to play through, Plague Knight and Spectre Knight, but I'm not going to be doing those right off the bat. Also, you might have noticed that the last episode of the Mana Pool that went up was actually a Magic RPG episode. What?
What?
Yep, we finally did another RPG episode, which is super awesome. And it was, too.
Hoorah.
And also, one last thing over on the YouTube channel. I randomly, while I was streaming, what was I playing? Hearthstone, I think. I got an email saying, hey, you've won the Suns Out, Guns Out sweepstakes, or one of the prizes, which is a Heroes of the Storm thing. They're like, here's 50 loot boxes. I'm like, whoa, that's cool. So once I got done playing Arena and Hearthstone, the first time I played Arena in months and months and months, I ended up going 10-3. What the hell? The max you can do, by the way, for those of you that don't know, is 12-3. Once you get 3 losses, you're out. It's essentially draft, in Hearthstone. And they give you 1 free win because of this event that's going on. So everyone starts at 1-0 and ended up going 10-3, which was insane. So that was fun. And then I switched over and streamed opening up my loot boxes in Heroes of the Storm, and that became a, YouTube video that just went up. So yay! Winnings. Check out all the stuff I got. Because people enjoy watching people open things. And I never have understood it, even though I do it myself. So there you go. And speaking of streaming, that's twitch.tv/themanapool, where I stream stuff. Whether it's The Walking Dead or Broforce. Oh god, I finally finished Broforce. And you know what? Broforce is awesome until the last few levels, and then it becomes an exercise in frustration and repetition and misery.
Does it become problematic if you do not have the correct bro?
Yes.
That was kind of my fear.
Like, increasingly problematic. Especially once you get to the final form of the devil. Satan himself, who is the final boss. Because of course it is. Because America!
Because like in real life.
Yeah, yeah. It's, and it was bad. Like, people watching the stream were well aware of me going, ah, and swearing constantly, and it was bad. It was really bad. But it was still, you know, once I finished it, I was like, yay, that was... Okay, play that game, but quit before you get to the end. But yeah, I have all kinds of stuff in mind to both for YouTube and streaming coming up soon. And I'm very excited to actually do some of that. Like, especially playing The Walking Dead, episode 2. Oh my god. I might just do that tomorrow night. I don't know. I haven't decided. You have to be in a certain mood to actually do that, you know? Because it's very dark. But anyway, that's it for me as far as places to find stuff I do. If you want to help support what I do with all of these things, you can. There are a variety of ways to do it. You can just listen, spread the word, you know, leave us feedback. All of those things are amazing helps. You can go subscribe to my YouTube channel. You can go follow or subscribe on Twitch. You can... check out the Patreon at patreon.com/themanapool, where every little bit helps, and I really do appreciate it. You can get YouTube videos and Manapool episodes early. I can't do early release from Monday Night Magic, obviously, because it's a news show. I don't want to delay it by some period of time. That just seems terrible. You can get early stuff and the odds and ends, all the stuff that's recorded before and after, both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool, that's uncensored and unfiltered and generally unsafe for consumption. You can find us listening to, or watching, what did we watch? Ready Player One trailer?
Live? Yeah.
That is correct.
And then we watched the little promo bit for,
Pacific Rim 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, there was an Iron Giant in Ready Player One.
You don't tell them that.
I mean, that's the only thing anybody knows. I knew of that beforehand, but I didn't realize they meant, like, the Iron Giant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want, you can get all of that and get your name on the end slate for every video that goes up in each month that you support at that tier. And as always, I appreciate all of these things, whether it's monetary or not. Yeah, hell yeah. And with that, I think we will be done. So this has been Monday Night Magic, episode 570. Wow. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, good. I didn't look. I just pulled that number out of thin air. So a big thanks, as always, to Squee and Clues.
But of course.
We exist.
Yeah, you do.
And that's an existential commentary.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, God. Crisis.
So as always, thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some Magic.